Welcome back, Grapes and Gorak, episode 26.
26.
The Trey Waynes episode.
The Antoine Winfield episode. We're just going to replay what we just talked about because
the damn recorder
went down again. Only like 2 minutes in, though.
So yeah, and at least I caught it this time. Like, yeah. I watched it start to shut down. I was like, uh-oh.
Because if these thoughts aren't recorded, what is the point of even talking anymore, you know?
I don't know.
Talk to you outside of the podcast.
No. I mean, it's not like we like each other.
No. And it's like, you know, I'll text you and it's like, wait a minute, save it for the podcast. You know, I don't want to be giving my takes out and just.
I know. And I don't want to be stealing your thoughts and whatnot, even though they're basically the same thing.
Well, you know, you come with a different thought and then I just talk you into my side.
Well, yeah.
You're a weak person.
You know? Well, yeah. I mean.
If you were in a cult, you would be a follower. So last week we talked about how we thought Stefanski was probably going to be the guy. Offensive coordinator. Next morning, he's the guy.
In Grapes and Gorak like fashion.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
It's always a day later. Yep. We predict these things.
Yeah.
I mean, that one was pretty obvious. I guess, for the most part. It was weird that he was getting a head coaching interview, but then not a lot of, like, OC talk. Almost
as if he was either going to get a head coaching job or he was coming back.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like. There's a lot of like weird vibes with it. Like I saw, what's his name? The 1500 East Bank guy was talking about the press conference was a little like, not as, how do you even put it?
Jubilant?
Yeah, dude, that is a great word. Not as jubilant as you would think. Like it was kind of like, but I think it's just like the pressure that like, we had a shitty season. So like.
Yeah, I think for the most part, it was like, yep, back to business. Like I've been here for 10 years. It's not like I'm being introduced to a new team and I've got to.
Yeah, I'm getting the job I just had. Like, so. But, I think you're right when it is. He was either going to take a head coaching job or he was going to come back here where he's lived here, knows the offense, knows the players, knows everything.
The players like him.
He knows Zimmer's going to give him the reins to the offense. It's not going to go be someone's.
Exactly. You can pad your resume this year.
Yeah. Well, and where would he go where he could even be an OC with, like, a lot of control? Because every freaking head coach hired these days is an offensive coach.
True.
What's he going to go to Denver?
Who wants to go to Denver?
Well, maybe he would have wanted to go to Denver. Who knows?
Who's their quarterback? Oh, Case Keenum. Of course he wanted to go to Denver.
Yeah, get back with his boy Case. Freddie Kitchens stayed in Cleveland. Stefanski came here. Thought we were all done with it. You know, thought, okay, that's the offensive. I think we talked to, like, Joe Philbin as for, like, an offensive line coach.
Didn't we hire the actual interview the actual Packers offensive line coach last year?
Yeah, I think he got hired. I don't know.
Went to Cleveland.
So
Cleveland's got a really good coaching staff, but.
Yeah, they did hire a lot of good guys. Kind of reminded me of when we went with Zimmer and Norv, and it was like, fuck yeah, Zimmer,
and we Norv, got Shermer,
Sperano, like, look at this shit. But today we get Gary Kubiak, who looked like he was locked into the Broncos job as OC. Like, yep. It was going to be Vic Fangio taking care of the D and
Kubiak running the offense.
Which, I don't know what happened there because, like, John Elway's his boy. Like, aren't they, like...
I was reading some of the transcript from the interview press conference with Fangio on why he didn't hire Kubiak, and he said like differences in like balance, and it wasn't like run pass balance, it's like balance between the passing game, the bootlegs, the play action, spreading the ball out. And within the run game, adding like zone concepts, like outside, inside, just stuff like that. And so I don't know if Kubiak's kind of more, you know, he's a West Coast guy, zone run guy. Maybe he's just like, this is the offense like I run. And like, yeah, I'll take some new ideas and concepts. But
the basic principles is going to be the zone, the bootlegs. And it's kind of a finesse offense. Like you get smaller linemen that are more speed that are, they're not maulers. Maybe Vic Fangio's like, no, I want like a power offense. I want to run it hard.
Well, he's a defensive guy.
That's exactly. So you'd think his mentality would kind of be like, no. I don't want to run this.
But
like,
the way Fangio talked, he kind of like sounded like he knew exactly what he wanted out of his offense. Because he talked about like scheming against certain types of offenses and like kind of knowing what works and when to use stuff. So it sounds like he's going to be a little more in on the offense than a normal defensive.
And I don't blame him. Like this is your shot to be a head coach. So if you decide that like that isn't exactly what I want, I have no problem like him being like, oh, sorry, Kubiak, I know you've won a Super Bowl here. Like I'm not looking for a West Coast type offense. I don't know what he wants, but whatever it is. Who's their OC now? Who'd they hire? Didn't they just hire someone?
I don't know who they hired. I know they hired Munchak as their offensive line coach.
Oh, that's right. Munchak was offensive
line coach. But I don't know who they hired as OC.
I'll look it up. But Kubiak coming here, he's going to be the assistant head coach / offensive advisor.
Okay.
But I think it's like a perfect fit. We talked all season about how DeFilippo's shotgun, 4 or 5 wide, 3 wide, all this stuff that Cousins isn't good at. And we wanted, you know, can't he just run more Shanahan stuff? Mike Shanahan drafted Cousins. He was great with bootlegs. He was great under center. And we hire basically Shanahan's right-hand man. I mean, the guy who was the OC in Denver during the Super Bowl years. He was there for like a long time. Then he became the Texans head coach when they think right off the expansion draft, right? Or is that a different
guy? No,
that's Campo, right? Who the hell got
Capers.
That? Capers.
Capers got that one.
Dom Capers?
Yep.
Where did he go later?
He was the Packers D coordinator.
Okay. So Kubiak came in after.
Yep, and he had like Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson.
And the
Texans started, you know, becoming mediocre to good. Yeah. Like he got them like.
Because under the Capers, they were trash. Well, that was awful. David Carr.
I mean, what do you know they're an expansion team. What do you expect?
Panthers and Jags did a lot better.
It's true.
I typed in Broncos offensive coordinator. I got Bill Musgrave. He's fired, but that's.
Maybe they haven't hired one yet.
I don't think they have. They hired an offensive line coach. But Kubiak, I think that'll be, like, you get the head coach that Zimmer seems to like on the offensive side. Like, he likes to hire former head coaches, so he can just, I think Zimmer's sort of like, okay, now I can pass the offense off.
Exactly.
Like, Stefanski, I like you, you're smart, you're up-and-coming guy, but I need some experience on that side of the ball.
My offense is stable. There's stability there.
Yeah, like, that you have some, like, a veteran to bounce ideas off of. You're not just kind of getting too, I don't know.
Too exotic? Too Shakira.
And then Zimmer can spend more time drawing up third down blitzes, and that's what he likes to do.
Exactly. And hopefully he starts blitzing on first and second down. Maybe. Hopefully he just blitzes. Yeah, dude. Just blitz nonstop.
So then we got a new tight ends coach. Kubiak's kid is going to be the quarterback's coach.
Yes.
And he was here a few years ago.
2013 and 14, yeah, I think.
It sounds like Stefanski was close with him. I don't know. It sounded like Kubiak was trying to steal Stefanski over to Denver.
Oh, yeah?
Before that all broke apart.
Okay.
So I don't know how he possibly would have done that. Maybe something similar to this situation where he makes him the assistant head coach, offensive advisor.
Or
maybe
Kubiak takes that. Yeah.
Yeah, so they do something shifty like that to steal him away. But he... I mean, Stefanski's contract was up, so he could have just left and joined him if he really wanted to. So, but it doesn't sound like a weird situation where it's Stefanski and then you're hiring someone to almost like look over his shoulder. Because it sounds like they have a good relationship, which, you don't want it to be like you don't even know the guy, but he's like, oh, former head coach, like going to be like, hey, Stefanski, I'm actually kind of in charge here.
Yeah, it's not like... if we hired Shermer and Turner the other way, where Shermer was the OC and Turner was like tight ends coach, and it's like, yeah, you know, like Shermer, you're good and everything, but Norv Turner, like, you know, he's 68, he knows what's up.
Yeah, well, and who knows? Maybe that's because we never actually know what happened with the whole Norv thing. Maybe it was like Zimmer started to go to Shermer more and was just kind of like, I kind of like his ideas better, and then Norv's like, I fucking quit, I'm out of here. Shermer,
yeah, you're not even taking my shit anymore.
So I don't, this.
Well, wasn't Shermer calling plays? And then they went to Norv, and then we lost like 2 straight games, and we gave the play calling back to Shermer.
There was something super weird. He gave him up and then took it back, and then now I expect Stefanski will be calling the plays. Kubiak will just be the offensive advisor, whatever that is. So, yeah. I'm just pumped to see. We're gonna like the zone runs, like Dalvin Cook in that, that's like the perfect running back.
Just let him find like, a crease think and of, explode.
Like, Aaron Foster, Devonta Freeman, Terrell Davis, like Dalvin Cook can just one cut and just slip through the smallest little crack and just go. So
that's what I love about him. I mean, and it's not like he's a small guy either.
But he's not. And he's somehow good at just kind of just getting small and getting through holes. And then I think it'll help Elflein because Elflein's undersized. I think it'll help Brian O'Neill already is like so athletic, like to just be a more of a just a pure zone scheme.
Yeah.
If that's what we're going to. It's hard to say like, okay, we're just going to take Kubiak's offense because Stefanski's clearly going to have a lot of control.
Well, it's going to be like a...
I feel like a mold of a lot of that Shanahan offense because that's what Cousins needs. And then with that Shermer, like, infused stuff. Because it seems like that's mostly what Stefanski talks about is Pat Shermer. You don't hear him like, oh, I learned a lot of stuff under Childress. And who the hell was after Childress?
Musgrave?
Oh, Norv.
Norv.
Yeah, I don't think... Did Zimmer have Musgrave?
No, Leslie Frazier had Musgrave.
Okay, good, good for it. Oh, but Stefanski was around for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you got? Musgrave, you got...
Childress. Who was there?
Bevel.
Bevel.
Daryl Bevel. So, I mean, a lot of that's just West Coast. I don't know what Musgrave seemed a little different, but... But yeah, he seems to talk about Sherman the most. It doesn't seem like he's like, yeah, I remember all that stuff with Norv Tommy.
Yeah.
You don't hear him saying that, so...
No, because he ran shotgun.
Yeah, because he went deep with Teddy, who didn't even have a good arm.
Yeah, but he threw it up to Charles Johnson, and guess who came down with it? Charles Johnson.
Charles Johnson, yeah, poor bastard. And that's who he's got to throw to. Charles Johnson and a washed-up Greg Jennings.
And a rookie Stephon Diggs, who ended up being pretty good.
Yeah, quality ball player. So, yeah, I think it'll be good. And then that Matt Paradise, the center from Denver, is available, free agent. Why not pluck him now?
There we go. I like that.
Great move, fit. Move Elflein over or make this guy move over. I don't know. He's one of the – I think he was – Pro Football Focus, like, top five graded center.
I'm in.
Then he, like, was out for the season after, like, week nine. But we need linemen, interior linemen, so.
Oh, get bigger, get bulkier, get faster. I don't know what we're going to run, but do what you got to do.
Yeah. I would say, like, if I don't know if you could have done this any better for what I think we need. Like, what OC could you have hired besides Stefanski?
I think I prefer Stefanski over going out and getting someone – like, just like it, McCarthy or Munchak or whoever.
I even like it more than just, let's say, Stefanski went to Cleveland. Then we just hired Kubiak as our OC. I think I like it better having, like, obviously, like, having them both. The more good coaches, the better. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
And there was no, like, we clearly didn't want some young up-and-coming quarterback coach or something because we tried
that. We were done. We were done with that.
So we were going
to
go for the...
That's the thing. Zimmer's up to try new things, but if it doesn't work, he's never going back to it.
Yeah, he's never going to go for that up-and-comer now. He's like, no, we're done. Unless he knows him. Like, he knows Stefanski. He didn't know that fucking DeFilippo at all, clearly. And then, so we were going to go retread. So it's like Hugh Jackson or...
down south, the Shakira, Smash Mouth Football.
Malarkey?
Malarkey.
Yeah, like those kind of guys, which would have been like, okay, we'll give it a shot. We'll see. But like this is like the best. And... Again, we just kept saying, like, Cousins, he's not throw the ball 50 times guy. He's get him under center, throw it, like, 20 times.
Yeah, what was that game against Miami? Threw it 22 times or something like that.
Yeah, our best 41, game.
Yeah, 41-17.
Well, so. It's like Kyle Shanahan's offense made Nick Mullins look good.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's easy stuff. You just bootleg, make one read.
High to low, low high.
It seems like everything's designed to be like, this play, this guy should be open. Not, like, drop back and you're... You need to go find the open guy because there could be anyone.
Exactly. With Tom Brady and Rodgers, that works.
You can do
they
that.
They're really good at throwing people open.
Mm-hmm.
Where Cousins is too skittish to throw somebody open, he needs to
They need to be see open. Him open. Yeah. Cousins isn't that good. So let's build up the offense.
He's a little startled.
He's build, a little skittish. You know, everything needs to be built up around him, and then he'll be very good.
And like, we've got pieces around him. Now we potentially have the coaching staff
and the game plan. Offensive scheme, yeah. I feel like the best example is Matt Ryan. Like, Kirk Cousins is a Matt Ryan. Like, with Steve Sarkisian or whatever that idiot's name was.
Very good.
He was garbage. Matt Ryan was mediocre at best. Like, and then with Kyle Shanahan, he's a beast.
MVP. So, like, he won MVP. Literally won MVP.
Like, if Matt Ryan can win MVP, I'm pretty sure Kirk Cousins can win MVP.
He can at least be in the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds weird to say, but it's because, like, you're just in a good system.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know?
Had Kyle Shanahan not thrown the ball the entire second half, Matt Ryan would have a Super Bowl.
Right? Yeah.
So, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, not a good coach.
Not a
but,
good coach.
I mean, he made Matt Ryan.
No. Who's the head coach there? Because he fucked that up. They're hiking the
Dan
ball
Quinn.
With, like, 17 seconds on the
Dan
play clock.
Quinn.
That was embarrassing.
Unbelievable.
I was rewatching that one day, and I was like, it's the third quarter, and they're up by like 20-something, and they're literally hiking the ball.
28-3.
They're hiking the ball with like 18 seconds on the play clock. It's like, okay, if you want to keep being aggressive and passing, that doesn't mean you can't drain the play clock. Like, you're literally hurrying to the line to hike it that fast. Like, teams don't even run. Teams aren't even trying to chew clock, and they still almost run out of play clock. So, I think overall, like, that ended up really well for us. It was close to being like, oh, this could be really bad. We could lose Stefanski and then be left, like, with the scraps, and all of a sudden we ended up Kubiak backing out of Denver or whatever happened there. Not, and we get him. We get all of his assistants that have been in the league for like ever.
Yeah. Like you said, I don't think it could have worked out any better for us. Because we got our guy in Stefanski and then some.
Yeah. We got a little something. We kind of got
We got icing on the cake.
And we got Cousins guy. Like, Kubiak seems like a very much a Cousins hire. You were drafted by Mike Shanahan. You were good in the system. Let's go get that other, the guy who runs that exact system. And if you don't, if he doesn't perform this year, like, better, then he's just
year
not good.
Three is going to be interesting. Year three is going to be very interesting.
This is year two.
No, like you said, if he doesn't get better.
Oh,
like
year three, maybe you're talking draft a quarterback in the first round and let him play his last year and get the fuck out of here.
That's what I'm saying. Like that. Yeah. That's when things start to get interesting. And I don't like, I like interesting, but not when it comes to us. I want it to be kind of like laid out in front of me and going, here, this is what's going to happen. It, like this year was interesting. I didn't like that.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. It was very interesting. It's weird because he puts up the stats, but then, like, he never really came through in a big game. So, it's like, if he doesn't come through and if he doesn't, like, if we don't actually consistently move the ball, like, it just seems so up and down. Then it's like, you know what, dude, just play out your contract and best of luck to you. Go join another team and win 8 games.
Yeah. Can you imagine if we just, like, the max we win is 10 games with Kirk Cousins, but he keeps putting up these numbers? Yeah. Like,
how the hell did he put up these numbers? I know it's probably because he threw 50 times a game, but like,
but he, I don't know, 4,000 yards, 70% completion percentage, 30 touchdowns, 10 picks. No other quarterback in the history had done that
in Vikings.
No, NFL.
In the
that's
NFL,
that's what I saw.
Well, there must be. That just seems odd to me. It just certainly.
I feel like Brees has done that.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like that might have been a Minnesota stat or something. Regardless, like when. When I watched Dante Culpepper's, like, where he was the, it would have been MVP, but Peyton Manning existed. Like, that felt like, holy shit, this guy's good. Like, this guy's having a great season, career year. And then even, like, you know, like the Brett Favre year. Like, I think he had 33 touchdowns, but it was like.
Wasn't it 38-7?
Oh, it might have been.
Oh, my.
Why would you say 38-7?
Oh, my.
I just.
39-7, I think it was actually.
It felt so much better. It just felt like they were, like, really good quarterbacks. Probably because they just came through in the clutch, and, like, Cousins was so bad in big spots that
just the worst.
But we've built him a little cocoon, I feel like. Now all we gotta do is get him, you know,
we gotta get him under center, we gotta get him rolling out, we gotta, you know, have plays designed for Diggs and plays designed for Thielen, plays designed for Rudolph, plays designed for the third receiver we draft this year in the sixth round, and all of a sudden he's good too.
Talking about Chad Beebe?
Oh, hey, look at that. We already have
the new Jameson Crowder.
Love it.
All right, let's talk a little before we're gonna end this show with talking about the offense as a whole, just the review of it. But let's talk NFC and AFC playoffs that just happened.
Okay, let's
start
with
the. Did you watch?
I watched all of them.
I watched all of them too, actually. Besides, I missed the first half or so of the Patriots game, but
that's
didn't
too
miss
bad.
Much.
I turned the second half off.
Well, I don't blame you.
I was 35-7 at halftime.
All the games. Like, going into this playoffs, it was like, these are going to be good games.
Did we
good...
say it on air? Like, yeah, these like, are going to be all going to be
good
really close.
Team, and they all sucked.
Except even the Eagles-Saints game was the only good one. But, like, it was all Eagles or all Saints.
Yeah, it wasn't
until
like a
the
back
final,
and forth.
Until the final drive, and then it was like, oh.
It's too bad Jeffrey did that, because, like, at least you could, like, I'd rather see someone make a play on the Saints than, like, Jeffrey just give the game away.
Yeah.
Kind of lame. I
really
we got all the games right on the podcast. We said all the favorites were going to win. They did. I was glad the Eagles lost, but I also kind of wanted the Saints to lose.
I
went back and forth. I just wanted a good game.
Exactly. But like as Nick Foles is driving there, I'm going, I hope they score like that. Just,
I feel like I always do that. Cause I just want like, I don't know why. I just want the team losing to score. So it's exciting.
It's exciting. Yeah. Yeah, and like none of them are the Vikings, so I don't like have any like passion for them. So
yeah,
like,
as much as I want to,
like I don't jump up and down on some team like, you know, miss when the Bears missed the kick. Like yeah, I'm giddy inside. I'm texting.
Oh,
you,
I jumped
like,
up and down when that guy hit that upright. I made an audible noise. It was amazing. So yeah. I don't know what sort of really talk about. Who do you think is going to win next week? So the Rams beat. Who did the Rams play? They played the Cowboys. That was... The Cowboys... It's kind of funny. Like, every year, whoever wins the wildcard game, it's like, oh, they're hot. Here they come. And then it's like, yeah, well, they have to go play a better team on the road. Probably going to lose. And, like, they didn't even... None of these teams even came close besides the Eagles. And again, like you said, they got out to a hot start and then kind of got handled the rest of the game.
Well, the Cowboys made it interesting at the very end.
Oh, yeah, the Cowboys. They've... Apparently the Rams knew everything they were doing. Did you read that?
No.
That they, there's a bunch of tells on the defensive line of the Cowboys, so they knew every time they were going to stunt. Like, no John way. Sullivan, our old John Sullivan, was like, yeah, we knew what they were gonna, when they were going to stunt 90% of the time. Like, just the way the guy was aligned on the line, or like if they, which hand they had down.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, great, good job coaching. Who was,
way to go, Marinelli.
Yeah. I was, who was I listening to? Some podcast, and the guy was some Cowboy fan. Just like, yeah, you know when your defensive coordinator has three head coaching interviews and doesn't pay attention to the game plan or switch up any of his calls? Just all pissed off.
Well, Marinelli didn't have any head coaching.
No, it was Chris Richard.
Yeah, but like, you know, he's not his D coordinator. He doesn't tell the D lineman what to do.
Is he a linebacker's coach?
He's a D-backs coach and, like, passing game coordinator. Oh.
Well, the guy blamed it all on him for having interviews. It was good shit. But, yeah, I mean, their defense is supposed to be good. And, like, C.J. Anderson goes for, like, over 100. They get ran over for, like,
they had 275 rushing yards.
I mean, that that's
1960 football right there.
You must know that the other team's going to stunt. And it's like, all right, he's going to move. And we're going to run right where he vacates. Yeah. Like, so bad. Chargers let me down.
I'm sorry. Like,
God, they suck. They're so like Viking like. Just like something, just don't even show up to a playoff game. Like, your team's supposed to be good and you just get absolutely shredded. You have Bosa, Ingram, Derwin James, and you just, everyone was saying that so the D coordinator is it Gus Bradley?
Gus Bradley, yep.
Comes from the Seahawks tree.
Yep.
And they run that cover three.
Yep.
And Brady shreds him every time, apparently. Every time he sheds Gus Bradley. And he played cover three the entire game.
Yeah, and
he just throws his running backs all day.
James White had 15 catches for 97 yards.
It's like, at what point are you just, he's going, like, I don't even, it was just bad. Rivers looked pissed the whole game, just flipping out, like.
And, Brady was the worst rated quarterback against the blitz, and I think they only blitz like 8% of the snaps.
He just plays his defense. Like, I'm not going to change.
And the Patriots are running 21-22 personnel the entire time, and he's got two safeties playing middle linebacker, which worked against Baltimore.
Yeah, but it worked against Baltimore. It's not against, runs the ball
not against 21 personnel with a fullback in there.
Yeah, and when Brady throws to anyone on the field, that was pathetic. And then they just couldn't block the Patriots. Like, the Patriots' defense isn't even that good. Or at least it usually isn't. Like, I'm sure Belichick had a great plan or whatever it was. But, like, Rivers is getting just completely annihilated every time. Who are these guys even? Like, they have a good secondary, but, like, their D-line is, like, a bunch of nobodies.
At one point, I saw Rome was at, like, 15 dropbacks for Rivers. He got sacked, like, four times and was hit eight. So, and hurried another, like, three, four times. So, like, 75% of his passes in the first half were, like, with a guy in his face, basically.
Yeah, it was a rough go for him, and he was not happy. But his, it looked like his, like, arm is weak. Like, dude can't get the ball out.
Well, he shot puts it for the first spot.
Yeah, he's been doing that his whole career. It's weird. It's like,
but, I mean, all year long, it's been like
just
that.
Just floating up there, it seems like. Ugh, I don't know. But.
But he still likes to throw deep. Still tries to thread the needle.
Yeah, firing it up. And then KC Colts. Colts, I mean.
Phillip Rivers doesn't shoot blanks.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, another team didn't show up. The Colts. They just couldn't get.
I thought they were going to get on a roll when they blocked that punt.
Yeah. Like,
but then the Chiefs drove right down and scored a touchdown. And then the Colts drove down and missed a field goal.
Vinatieri, what happened? Missed extra point later. Yeah. Our boy Frank Reich just couldn't get the ball in the end zone.
Unbelievable.
You know? So next week, who you got? Patriots, Chiefs?
Taking the Patriots.
Taking the Patriots, too. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
Andy Reid?
Yeah, Andy Reid against Bill Belichick.
Tom Brady, Mahomes. I know Mahomes is good, but, like, I don't. Mahomes
has. Have you met Tom Brady?
Yeah. Gus Bradley met him. Did not go well.
He got bent over by Tom Brady.
Jesus. Breeze and
Goff. I'm going to take the Saints.
Yeah, I got to take the Saints there. I think we talked about last week. A Breeze-Brady Super Bowl. Like, I'm in for that.
Yep, I'm in for that. It was either Breeze-Brady or Breeze-Rivers were my two kind of, like, preferences.
And, I mean, I feel like no matter what, it's going to be good because, like, Mahomes makes
any four of those combos. Like, did you watch the Chiefs-Rams game earlier this year?
Yeah, ridiculous.
So
you're either gonna have Sean McVay in there, Patrick Mahomes, Brady, Breeze. Like, everyone's got, like, kind of been the story of the season. Like, the right teams are at the end.
Yep. And you get Goff and Mahomes together, they're going to put up points where, like, the Brady Breeze match, I think, is going to end up being like one of those, you know, like 2017, where they're both going to play well, but, you know, they're not gonna put up 35. Well,
it's sort of like points. The Saints Eagle game, where like the Saints pretty much handled the Eagles for the after the 14-0, but they still only won. What was the final
20
score?
20-14.
20-14. Yeah, they only put up 20 points. Yeah. They try to do that more of that ball control. Oh. Can't be throwing picks off the bat.
And yeah, and that's
that's like the exact pick he threw to Anderson Dejo last year versus us.
Oh yeah.
Remember that? Like when Sandhill went back and kind of did the center field move, like where he's just slightly under threw a deep ball and let the safety. And the
safety
it.
Was able to yeah. make a play.
Where like the safety was beat, but once he underthrew it, he was kind of screwed. So maybe they don't call that play that deep over the middle shot. Breeze's arm doesn't have it anymore, apparently. So we both think Patriots, Saints Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that.
And then who do you think wins it?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Then he rides off into the sunset.
I think... You're not riding off into the sunset. What are you talking about?
You think he's going to go back for number 7?
Yeah. Tom Brady's not quitting. Oh, Jesus. Tom Brady's going to have to get drug off the field like Favre was. Like, basically knocked unconscious and then be like, oh, okay. Better stop now.
That's a good point because everyone is saying, or was saying that the Patriots dynasty was dead. Tom Brady's the worst remaining quarterback in the playoffs. So you're just adding fuel to the fire. Now he's pissed off. So
yeah,
now
he's you hear him after the game, like, just completely playing the underdog. Like, everyone says we suck now, so yeah. Like, whatever.
I just like to win. Yeah. You know,
all those underdog stuff. Patriots. Come on now.
They should get those underdog hats from the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't think they're wearing those dog masks on. What was with the ski masks? Did you see Kamara and someone wore those?
I have no idea what that was.
Something about the Saints just bugs me. I feel like they're just arrogant. I don't.
Well, of course, Sean Payton's their coach.
I really want them to lose. Like, I just like when Sean Payton loses. Like when he skull chanted us last year.
Yeah,
and then the miracle happened. Like that's just good stuff.
Which sucks because I like the players on the Saints, but until they get rid of Sean Payton, which it'll be in like 20 years,
because he's a really good coach.
Yes, and. I don't know.
You think if Breeze wins, he retires?
No.
I don't either. Isn't he like basically runner-up MVP? I mean, Mahomes is probably going to get it, then it's Breeze. Yeah. Like, why would you retire?
I saw on Twitter after Breeze threw the interception, somebody tweeted, this is your MVP. But, right. Yeah, I said Brady Breeze, didn't I?
I think so. That would be a good one. Sean Payton and Belichick going at each other, too. I think that's. I mean, Sean McVay or Andy Reid. Like, they're all good coaches. These are literally the four teams that should be left.
True. Well, I mean,
like, to start the season, it was like Rams, Chiefs. Holy shit, look at these two teams go. And then the Saints, like, quietly were kicking everyone's ass. Actually, and then ended up passing the Rams.
And the Patriots they started out, like, 9-1, 10-1, and then they...
Well, I think they lost... Didn't they lose two early? Well, or was it one early?
Maybe it
There's always, two. Like, the Patriots might not be good anymore.
Yeah, I think they started out, like, 8-2, and then they lost 9-2, and then they lost two in a row. Yeah. And everyone started counting out, is this the end of the Patriots? It's like, no, you guys stop right there. Yeah. They lost two games in a row, and one was on a fluke play from Miami with that stupid...
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Kenyon Drake. So really, they only lost one game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and like the reason they're always good, too, is because he does change his game plans to stop people. You got idiot Gus Bradley, who refuses to.
Somebody pointed out that all season long, Bill Belichick ran a zone run game all year. Then switch it up to man up.
This last game?
So, I mean, like, Bill Belichick's smarter than everyone.
It really is annoying. What is it? How many straight NFC
titles? Eight straight NFC title games.
The Vikings get, like, one every 10 years, and it's heartbreaking. They have been to 8 straight. Like,
I think we've only been to, like, 10 or 11 of them.
Well, I would assume, because it's, like, last year, 2009, 98. Oh,
2001. Yeah. And then we've been to the four when we went to the Super Bowl.
Yep, the Dallas push off.
Yep. There's nine.
The 89 Darren Nelson drop.
10.
It's probably like around 10. Maybe another 10 or 11. Maybe another one down in the 70s 10 or that we 11. Don't know about.
So
fucking 8 straight.
Unbelievable. Like, and then they've got the Bruins. They've got the Celtics. They've got the Red Sox. Like, fuck Boston, man.
Ugh.
What a joke.
We have the Wild losing 4-3.
In the second period.
I don't even want to watch hockey.
Here. I don't know. Oh, I like going to the games, but that's the extent of my hockey experience. Who's this kid? He looks like he's younger than me. Him too.
That's Cranlin.
He's probably younger than me.
Oh, they're all younger than us. All right. Well, that's enough playoff talk. Let's go to, so we're going to talk about all the offense this year, kind of go through each position. Well, how, you know, kind of how we thought they did. If you want to keep them, you want to get rid of them. If you think we have to improve that spot. So
can we stop and
yeah, we can stop, get a refill. You know, Ryan's got a small bladder. We'll worry about that.
I can dig it. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. So yeah, we're going to jump into the offensive breakdown.
Let's start quarterbacks. Let's just start there. We talk a lot about Cousins. We can kind of fly past him. He's got two more years.
Are we giving grades? Is that something we're doing too?
We could give grades. I mean, what?
Like, just as a whole, like as a unit, not individual players.
We could do it as a unit. The problem is quarterbacks, no one played a snap besides Cousins because it's durable.
Well, yeah.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
We've missed that in Minnesota for a long time.
That's true.
Durable quarterback.
That's true.
How would you say overall they played?
I'm stuck between C+ and B-.
I literally was going to say C+.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I expected a B- quarterback, and I got a C+ quarterback.
I think I talked myself into, as the year got closer, to a B plus quarterback.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would say, thought I was getting a B- after the first two games. I was like, well, maybe he's a B+. And then he kind of just withered away down the stretch.
So, I think C+ is probably where it's at. I want to be B-, but you know, we won 8 ball games. I know a lot of it had to do with scheme and everything, but you know what? Quarterback
play well.
Turnovers. 16, 17 of them.
Yeah, too many.
3 pick sixes. Get out of here.
Like, you got to do better.
You get a C+. You're lucky you're not getting a C.
Yeah.
I might, C. He got a C.
That's fucked up. Just take that little part away. Simeon.
Well, I mean,
I don't need you to grade him. I mean, his preseason was garbage, but he's a free agent. Oh. Would you want him back?
I'd take him back because he can do a lot worse for it. No, if we're going with Slaughter as our backup quarterback,
he's got a couple more years left. So, yeah. Like,
you know, I'm not upset if we keep him. I'm not upset if he leaves.
I feel like I take him back for like the minimum.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I kind of think just go Kyle Slaughter, maybe draft someone in like the 5th or 6th round. A
little developmental guy.
Yeah. At what point are we, how long are you going to keep Kyle around? What's the point if you can't trust him to be as good as Trevor Siemian? Like,
exactly.
Well, then why don't we just get rid of him and get a new developmental quarterback if he's, what is this, his third year now?
It'll be his third year, yes. So, I feel like he's ready. I feel like he's ready unless, like you said, you get Siemian or somebody on par with that for the minimum.
Yeah, it's Fitzpatrick, Josh McCown.
Matt Barkley got a 2-year extension for like $6 million from the Bills, and trust me, I don't want to pay Matt Barkley $6 million.
Yeah, and I don't want to pay like Trevor Siemian anything more than he looked bad in the preseason. Yeah. So I think we're both on the same page there. Like, we'd have no problem just going with the two, Cousins, Slaughter, and then.
A vet minimum or developmental guy. Minimum.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to running backs.
Start at the bottom and work our way up.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk. Well, first, let's talk the fullback. CJ Ham.
CJ Ham. Quality guy.
He's what do you call that? Exclusive rights free agent. So he'll be back next year. The two free agents. Well, it's just there's Boone and Rock Thomas. They're both under contract. They'll be around. I think we both like them.
Yep.
Thomas was cut and then put on practice squad.
And then he signed a futures reserve.
They all signed whatever bullshit that is. Oh. Amir Abdul is a free agent. What did you think of his season?
I liked him. I liked when we got him. I liked his kick return ability. I feel like when he took the ball out, he either got to the 25 or like he may have gotten to the 22, 23, whereas before we got there, it was like 17, 18 yard line was our start.
Yeah, I think there was a distinct like upgrade. Not that he's like was anything near like Cordarrelle Patterson or Percy Harvin or something, but yeah, he was like a good returner. Whereas like everyone else back there was like fucking up horribly.
And I feel like there was one or two returns where Abdullah like got tripped up or, you know, guy missed a block and it was like, oh, he was one or two guys away from getting away with that.
I don't think he carries a ton of value as a running back. I do think he can catch the ball well.
Yeah, we used him a little bit in little like pass plays. I think that was just to kind of get fresh legs out there.
Yeah. And I think once he was on the team as a kick returner, it kind of made it where Boone was inactive. So it was like, okay, well, it's not Boone. It's going to be Abdullah because he plays special teams. Mm. So would you want to bring him back?
I wouldn't be against it. I'd like to bring him back
again, like for damn near the minimum, like kick returner money. Like, what is a random kick returner?
I have no idea. I would think probably like a million or something like that.
So I wouldn't pay him much more because as far as our running back group, obviously you have Cook, and then Boone and Thomas I like enough where I would be fine with that because the other free agent is Latavius Murray.
Is he a free agent or
free agent?
Oh, I thought we gave him a 3-year contract.
We restructured it.
Oh, did we?
Coming into this season, and I think we took a year off. Okay. Regardless, he's a free agent, at least according to over the cap wherever I looked.
Right. Thought we were gonna cut him. Anyways,
would you want to bring him back?
I.
What would you grade his season? Like, I feel like last year he was better.
Yeah,
this year he's good. He's fine.
Yeah, he's solid. I mean, he's a short down back. I mean, it's not his short
down back. I didn't do very good at it this year as far as getting short.
Wasn't really his fault that his line didn't get any push.
Yeah, that's
and it's not our fault when it was 3rd and 1. It was either ISO or shotgun. So
not a lot of creativity there.
Yeah. But he's got solid hands.
Yeah, he's very good all around. He's a very good all around player. I kind of feel like you could just go young here, though.
I think that's what Cook, I Boone, would Thomas. Do. I mean, that's probably what I would do.
I don't want to pay Murray anything more than, like...
I don't really want
to
pay him...
Like, basically the minimum. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like he's that good of an upgrade over Mike Boone to be paying him...
No, because I think Boone is... He's more explosive, and he looked really good in the preseason. You know, he was getting chunks of yards at a time.
Mm-hmm. I think both those guys are far more explosive than Murray. I mean,
And you don't...
Why'd you keep him around?
Why, you don't need a fat back. You got Dalvin Cook. He's a 3-down back. Like, you don't...
Yeah. Cook should be on the field, like, 90% of the time. And then...
Thomas and Mike Boone can get sprinkled in there.
Uh-huh. And I going into a game, if Cook was down for injury, I'd have no problem just make Boone be in the starter. Yep. So, I think let Murray walk. We can't be spending money on backup running backs anyways.
We don't have a lot of money. Another position on offense.
Yeah. How would you grade the running backs as a whole?
Oh, A-. Dalvin Cook, really good at football.
Our running game is trash, though. So, like, here's the thing. I actually think you're right. I think they're, I would say, like,
B, maybe B+. Dalvin Cook gets an A-, and running backs
But, like, Murray did what you expected him to do. Ham played well. Like, I would say...
You got more than you expected out of Rock Thomas and Amir Abdullah. I mean, you weren't expecting Abdullah to... Yeah. I mean, when we signed Abdullah, I figured he'd be cut a week or two later.
Yeah, I thought... I had no idea. Besides the kick returning, it was like, what the fuck's the point of this guy? And then it was like, oh, he's actually pretty good at kick returning. This makes sense, because our kick returning was terrible.
No.
But I guess that you have to separate a running back from the offensive line. And I blame the offensive line and the play calling far more than I do our running backs. Because, Dalvin Cook was still making people miss. He was
still averaging 9.5 yards per carry.
Even Murray was still not doing all
getting
that.
And he was getting touchdowns. Then he get at the beginning of the year, wasn't he scoring from 8-10 yards out near the in the red zone? It was like, oh god, Murray's really good near the red zone.
I think it's more the offensive line coaching than it was the running backs. So I think next year, we should talk. Who do you think's a lock to make the team next year too? So quarterback wise, I think we both think Slot or Cousins.
Yeah.
Simeon's a free agent, so he could go either way.
We got two locks at quarterback. I think there's four of them here.
I think Rock Thomas could maybe not be back. The fact that we cut him and expose him to waivers. Say we do, because you're gonna bring rookies in, you're gonna bring undrafted free agents in, you're gonna maybe you do bring Abdullah back and then go, you know what, we don't really have space for Rock Thomas. But probably it's on the practice squad. But if you're talking locks, when you have 75 men coming into camp, I think it's a little bit too much to say Rock Thomas is a lock.
That's a good
point. So I'll say, but I will say Mike Boone, Dalvin Cook, and Hamar.
Yep. So, we'll go three of them. Oh, yeah, and then we can see how many
open spots we have when we get to the end of it. So
I like that.
Yeah. And you can kind of save a little money there, Matt. Getting rid of Murray's. I mean, you already know what's gone, but so let's go to tight ends. This one's pretty interesting because you got Cole Hickatoonie or whatever that dude is, Josiah Price, a couple practice squad guys or wherever they are. Conklin, 3-year deal. How would you grade him?
I would say B.
Yeah, I would say like better than all the other dumb tight ends we've ever taken.
Like, definitely.
Better than Pruitt. Better than
Bucky Hodges.
Bucky Hodges. And better than... God, there's one more.
What is...
There's, I don't know, we Red said Ellison? It last... No, he's a good player.
Oh, we said it.
We said it last podcast. There's three of them.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Whatever. Whoever it was. I know there's like Mickey Schuler at one point, too. Remember that idiot?
No.
He wasn't the guy, though, that we're thinking of. Anyways, I thought he looked above average for a
especially
rookie.
Towards the end. Didn't he play... Was that the Miami game where he made all those big plays?
Yeah,
good plays, I should say.
Where they did some of that bootleg stuff. Like I think it was 3rd and 1. He caught like a 30-yard pass.
I think at the beginning of the year, he pissed me off. He had a couple drops here and there.
A couple drops. Then DeFilippo didn't use him at all.
Yep.
Even when David Morgan was hurt, we barely saw him. And then once Stefanski took over, we saw him a little bit more. And I thought he played well. So, and if we're going to be running that bootleg offense, it'd be nice to have a... Obviously, he's not going to be a George Kittle, or if we even have one on the roster, but it would be nice to have a tight end that can run those deep wheel routes and stuff like that. And I don't, personally, I don't think Rudolph's like athletic enough to run that stuff anymore.
No, and, you know, Rudolph.
Well, let's talk about Rudolph. 1 year left under contract. If you cut him, you save $7.6 million.
And, you know, Conklin, I don't know how good he is, but, I mean, saving that kind of money, I'm not opposed to going into the year with Conklin and Morgan.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Kyle Rudolph has been here a while, and, like, he's always been, like, pretty good, but he's never been, like, some elite tight end. He's not Greg Olsen. He's not...
But he never drops passes.
But, like, there's a lot of tight ends that never drop passes. Like, I just feel like you can replace him with someone that makes not much. Like, he's just not that special. He's... Not that fast. The thing that's so good about him is how big he is. He's just so tall that you can just throw up to him.
But David Morgan's big too, isn't he? Isn't he 6'5"? Or is he only like still 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, like that's still only a few inches smaller. Like,
I've liked Morgan in the passing game. You know, we've used him a little bit here and there.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
So I wouldn't mind seeing Morgan being our starting tight end.
You know, he's 6'4".
He's no fantasy tight end, but I'm not looking for a fantasy tight end. I'm looking for...
Rudolph this year wasn't a fantasy tight end.
Well, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but, like, you know, everyone sees, you know, they think of Rudolph, they think 5 for 70 and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's not him. It's like 4 catches for 40 yards and a touchdown. Like,
maybe a touchdown, and it might be 40 yards. There's plenty of times where he's getting, like, 4 for 30 because it's just, you know, a little, like, 7 yard
safe pass. There's plenty of times where he ends a game 2 catches for 14 yards. Like,
He's not the Kyle Rudolph we thought he was going to be, or
he was never as good as the guy we thought we were getting, but he was always pretty damn good. Like, he was always like, we don't need to worry about the tight end spot. But, like, did you read the thing that we tried to trade for Tyler Higbee?
I did not read that.
In the offseason, we offered a 7th, they wanted a 6th, and Terry talked kind of broke down because we wanted a more athletic, someone that can run up the seam and, like, threaten a defense deep a little bit. Like,
you're not getting Rudolph Higbee for a 6th-round pick this year, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. Rudolph just is kind of a pure red zone threat and like an underneath guy, possession tight end. And I just think you could find those everywhere.
Yeah.
So
I think you can definitely upgrade that position.
And I think it needs to be upgraded.
True. And like the guys on our roster, I think if you get rid of Rudolph, you're probably taking like a half a step back, but you're kind of in that same level of talent.
The same realm, yeah. And maybe you add someone I'd like to see us add is Max Williams, the former Gopher.
Yep.
He got drafted really young. I think he's still only 25.
Yes.
Because he came out early. Injuries and stuff. And then they basically been drafting tight ends, and he kind of just lost in the shuffle. He's a free agent. They're definitely not going to re-sign him because they drafted a guy in the 1st and 3rd round.
Oh.
And his PFF grade was pretty solid this year. Not a ton of snaps. So it's, you know, sometimes be like a, what do you call that? A small sample size.
Yes.
So, but actually athletic. Like, was a great receiver for the Gophers. So, like,
I remember him jumping over that one guy.
Yeah, like, it'd be someone that, like, we split out, DeFilippo split Rudolph out so much, and it's like,
he's not the guy you split out.
He's not, like, he's, what's he gonna do out there? He's not running past anyone.
No, and he's not gonna make you miss, like, off a run.
What, you know, if you throw him a 3-yard pass, he's gonna shake a tackle? No, he's gonna get tackled. Like, the only time it ever works really good is, like, near the goal line, where, like, catching a 6-yard fade is all you need.
Yeah, or just, you know, running those in routes in the back of the end
zone. Yeah, we're throwing up high. Throw it up high to him. That's where you're, that's what you're going to miss, is the just throw it up high and like either he's going to catch it or no one's going to catch it type of thing.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to miss all those Hail Marys that he caught in the end zone, but, you know.
Yeah, well, and I'm not saying I wouldn't take him back if he restructured, you know, maybe take less than half of what he's making.
Yeah, I think $3.5 million is the range that I'm like to bring
Rudolph. What his value actually is. But then I think, would you rather have, say money doesn't matter, would you rather have Conklin, Morgan, and Max Williams? Rudolph, Morgan, and Conklin? Like
Max Williams.
Basically, would you rather have Max Williams or Kyle Rudolph?
Like, and I'd rather
would you rather
Max
take
Williams.
A shot on someone younger, young with some upside and see what happens? Because I don't know who else is out there. I know Tyler Kroft, I think, might be a free agent. CJ Azuma's like 25 years old. There's not a great tight end crop because it's like Jared Cook, who had a great season, but he's like 31. Well, but even like,
you know, and I guess he probably did just have his best years, and he knows the tight end market sucks, so he's probably going to get a bunch of money.
He's going to get overpaid probably by someone. And like, I don't trust Jared Cook. Feels like a stats on a bad team type of guy.
I feel like he has gotten better as his career went on.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
His hands used to be a problem. Now I think he at least learned how to catch with his body.
Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to something like that, a veteran there. I just think,
like more athletic. Yeah. I'd like to get more athletic than Rudolph. That's just it. I think Morgan and Conklin are both more athletic than Rudolph.
And maybe you go with those two and you draft someone. Maybe you go for that Noah Fant that was at Iowa.
Iowa's got two good tight ends.
Another guy just said he's going to come out. So
there's a lot of tight ends in this class, though. But like,
it is a good tight end class. So maybe you do something like that. I think that's one of the – like quarterback, it is what it is. We're not. It's going to be Cousins and some backup.
Yep.
Maybe it'll just be Slaughter. Running back, it is what it is. It's going to be Cook. Maybe
a veteran mixed in.
Maybe, yeah. But tight end, I think, is somewhere you can actually add something that could help Cousins. Maybe it is Vernon Davis. Like,
you know, Vikings Twitter is going to go ape shit if we upgrade tight end and don't do shit on offensive line. I mean, I'll go ape shit too.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that. That would be a little worrisome if we did nothing. And I'm not talking go spend, because there is no one to spend big money on. I don't think there's even a Jimmy Graham from last year who was a complete bust. But, yeah.
Well, it's because Mike McCarthy's offense sucks for tight ends.
It doesn't work for tight ends. And also Jimmy Graham is washed up as fuck. So I just don't Kyle Rudolph is not making $7.6 million next year.
Fact.
What, like,
for anyone. For anyone.
No, yeah. I mean, he's such like a key cog like in our, how do you put it? Like in the Vikings like locker room, and like he's like up for Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
He's like
the in the community.
He's been here his whole career. He's such a didn't save Brian Robeson's job. Didn't save
Terrence Newman
while he's still here, but like,
Didn't save Jared Allen's job.
Didn't save Jared Allen's job. Like, it could be one of those where take a pay cut and do the Robeson route, do the Terrence Newman route, do the Latavius Murray route. He took a pay cut and come back for like way less.
Peanuts.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, you're not like David Morgan can do your job for fucking minimum, because David Morgan's on a rookie contract, fourth round pick. Like,
yeah.
So that's now locks next year. I think Morgan Conklin, the only two.
Yes.
Because Rudolph is on thin ice, and the other two dudes are random.
Do you think Rudolph knows it, knowing that he knows that the NFL is a business? Like,
I think
Kyle Rudolph went to Notre Dame. He's not a dumb guy.
No, if random Joe Blow fan can look at it and go 7.6 for Kyle Rudolph, are you high? Like, come on, he knows it. So, I think he'd be open to a pay cut, because again, he's not getting $7.6 million on the open market. Yeah. So you're going to say, hey, we're either going to cut you or we can spread this out over a few years and you'll make way less base salary, but you'll still get your $7.6 million.
Yeah.
It'll just be over 3 years type of thing. I kind of would rather, I like Rudolph again. Like, he's been with us. He's never drops the ball, but I would like to see a little something more at the tight end position.
Oh, I would like something more athletic.
Yeah.
You know, I would mind, you know, we'll see how the roster plays out. I don't know. Call me crazy, but getting a more athletic guy and maybe going in with four tight ends, because that way you can still get Rudolph on the field for, you know,
for the red zone. Yeah.
And like key first down situations. Uh-huh. And, you know, on
that would be ideal. Like, that would be like, I mean, you got
then David. you got a blocking tight end and Conklin. Who knows?
Who's maybe, still developing?
Maybe Conklin takes a big leap this offseason.
And he becomes that guy, and then you just have Conklin as kind of the field stretching type, Rudolph as the possession guy, and Morgan as a blocker who's actually underrated as a pass catcher.
Oh. So the tight end position, you can...
It's an interesting spot.
Yeah.
But Rudolph's got to take a pay cut.
Fact.
Definitely got to take a pay cut. Let's go to receivers. We'll run through the young guys. Jeff Bidet's under contract.
Yep.
The speedster, right?
Yep.
Brandon Zylstra, who made the team. So they like him.
Little punt returner.
Chad Beebe also did a little punt returning. They apparently tears it up in practice.
All right. All right. I'm into that. I've heard that
I'd
before.
I'd be interesting to see what he looks like in this offense. Like if, because the Shanahan type offense, like if we're going with the Kubiak style, he had like Kyle Shanahan, like Taylor Gabriel in Atlanta running that slot. The problem
deep
that I
crossing routes.
Yeah. I mean, just the thing that worries me is like Diggs and Thielen rotating into the slot lets them get away from the bump, get away from those outside corners. They seem to kill it in the slot. So I don't know if I want to just stick Diggs and Thielen on the outsides and put BB in the slot all the time. But if BB's that good, then I guess you kind of got to do it.
Yeah, and well, you know, you can
always mix it up too.
Yeah, you know, there's... Yeah, exactly. You know, who knows? Maybe BB just plays outside. BB plays outside just on plays...
Certain packages.
Yeah,
certain,
and like basically just as like a deco. Just run deep, you know, get some guy out of there. Like.
Yeah. Well, and you can do also, if you did like, you know, a 5-wide play where Thielen's still... In the slot on one side, BB's in the slot on the other.
Yeah.
You got Diggs on the outside, someone else on the outside, and maybe a tight end out there. You can run them quick, you know, shifty routes that clearly BB's really good at. It's just the in and out of cuts really fast to get open lane on.
He's got really good footwork.
Yeah. So the way they talked about him is how he was just always making plays in practice makes me think that he has a chance to maybe be that third receiver that steps up, because I think we desperately need one.
Yeah.
Which brings me to Aldrick Robinson. Free agent.
Yep.
We didn't really grade the tight ends. How would you grade the tight ends quick?
B+.
That's high. What did
what did they disappoint you with?
They didn't make any plays.
It's not our fault DeFilippo didn't run plays for the
okay,
tight end.
You can't just bump everyone up a letter grade because DeFilippo brought him down.
Sure.
Like Morgan was hurt, Conklin's whatever, he caught a couple balls, and Rudolph did nothing. I mean
Hail Mary. B+.
Hail Mary, B+. Yeah, it's tough to grade when you got so many. That's the thing about football. Like, you can just like.
B. If you think it's high, B.
I'm going C+ at best for tight ends. Mm. Our tight end group compared to other people's tight end groups, C+. Like, what? Would you put us in the upper tier of good tight end groups? Like,
put us in average, B- B.
Well, I don't know what your scale is. I'm saying C is average. We're going to need to grade on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 to 5 teddies.
No. 1 to 5 teddies. Okay, Teddy Bridgewater gets 5 teddies, if not 6.
So, Aldrick Robinson. Kind of good. Kind of don't care if he leaves.
Yeah.
Like, don't give a shit, really.
Come back for the veteran minimum at the end of
and
training
I hope
camp.
You're more like a fifth receiver than our third.
I'd go, yeah, I mean, I'd settle for you as a four.
I would hope he's replaced. Like, yeah. I hope we upgrade enough, or Brandon Zylstra gets better, or Chad Beebe gets better. That we can just let him go. Because, like, yeah, he had a seemed like he had a little connection with Cousins, and he made a few plays, had a bunch of touchdowns. But, come on. Aldrick Robinson, that's your third best threat at receiver? Like,
no.
We got to find a better deep threat than that. Like,
I mean, we've got two better deep threats on the team.
Yeah, maybe send them deep every now and then.
Yeah,
maybe don't
nice.
Only run deep threats, your deep routes to Aldrick Robinson. And Aldrick's, like, 31 years old. It's like, we got to upgrade. This is kind of similar to tight end. I think we need to upgrade this third spot because – the other guy's Treadwell. They can't really count on him. You could cut him. You barely gain any money. If you trade him, you gain $2 million. So
maybe
it's cut the cord time and you
get
like
a seventh.
Sixth or seventh conditional pick if he makes their team kind of thing where it's like, here's a guy with potential. He's young, but like our fans are sick of him. We're
sick
of him.
Like he's only 24 though.
He's
so
young.
Like you guys might be able to do something with him.
I mean, we got a pick for Troy Williamson from the Jaguars.
We did not.
We traded Troy Williamson.
Wasn't it for a conditional seventh?
He made their team. I'm pretty
so
sure
did we
got
get
a
seventh?
Pick for Troy Williamson.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So like, and that saves us $2 million, whereas cutting him, you're gaining like $500,000, which at that point, it's like, it's not even worth doing. You might as well just keep him.
No.
So.
Did you say Cunningham? Oh, cutting him.
Cutting him. So, it's tough. If you do bring him back, I think it's definitely he needs to earn his role. I think this year it was sort of like, well, you're still a first-round pick, so here you can have those snaps. And then eventually Aldrick took them all. And I think there was a game. I think Stefanski's first game, wasn't he inactive?
Yes.
And he was like, oh, I hope this is the first time. And some of the stuff Treadwell says just bugs me. What did he say? I could be a 100 catch receiver. Did you see that?
No.
Basically, like, in this offense, it's Diggs and Thielen, which he's got a point. But it's like, dude, you drop balls when they're thrown to you. Like, I...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could get 100 catches, but you would need 170 targets.
There's times you see, like, flashes. Like, okay, this guy could be maybe a good possession receiver or something, which would be nice because we could use, like, a big-bodied receiver. But, like, just let us down so much, so...
And who knows? Maybe he does take the next step, and he is good next year. Maybe this is the year. This is the year of Treadwell.
Year of Treadwell. He tears up.
Tears up practice. Tears up OTAs. You know, this is the year of Treadwell. 2019, the year of Treadwell. Write that down.
Not gonna write that down. If I do, it's gonna be in crayon. The other two, Thielen, Diggs. Thielen's on a 2-year deal. So might be a thing where we maybe need to help him with his pay or maybe just wait another year and see what happens. I know he had a bunch of escalators, so maybe he's not as underpaid. I don't know. Diggs going into his new 5-year contract.
No.
I would say Locks.
Going to be good.
Diggs, Thielen, Chad Beebe.
Yep. Those are Locks.
I would say Treadwell's not. Robinson's not. Zylstra's not.
I think Beebe makes the team at least as the fifth receiver.
Yeah, I think they like him enough where he'll be around as the fifth or sixth receiver at worst. Maybe he does impress enough where we keep him as our slot receiver every fucking play, you know?
Yep.
So far, I would say we need to upgrade our receiver depth and get an athletic tight end. Like, if I was trying to fix our offense, running back, quarterback, there's really nothing you can do there. But receiver, tight end, I think both those could be upgraded.
Yeah.
Like, receiver's fine at the top. But there's
we're a very top-heavy wide receiver.
Yeah, here. And then tight end, I feel like we're kind of weak at the top. Like, Rudolph has, like, regressed to the point where he's just kind of like another David Morgan, just taller.
And can't block as well.
Can't block as well, maybe a little better hands, maybe slightly better route runner. Like, just, like, overall as a player, they're, like, B-minus players. Like, just because they have, like, shortcomings in different spots and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the interior line. Well, let's just talk guards actually first.
What did you? We didn't grade the receivers.
Grade the receivers. I would say B+.
I want to go B+ too.
And I would have went A, but again, I think the depth pulls us down.
Yep.
Yeah. I would say our strengths were running backs, receivers.
I mean, we had 200 catch 1,000-yard receivers. How was that not at least B+?
Yeah. And those guys would be like A, and then you have like the shitty Treadwells and the. I mean, Elder played fine.
Don't. It's the year of Treadwell. Do not say the shitty Treadwells.
Shitty Treadwells. Him and his brother, Steve Treadwell. All right, let's actually go to center.
Center.
Cornelius Edison.
Yep. Was a rookie?
I don't know what he was. Oh. Some guy that played not good enough in free agency that we had to trade for. Brett Jones.
Yep. Was inactive a lot.
And he's a free agent.
Yep.
Do you want to see him got back?
No.
I mean, when he played, I wasn't like, oh my God, this guy's terrible. But like, again, minimum.
I mean, I guess you can't upgrade your entire offensive line in free agency.
And he's not a starter, so like he's just a depth guy. So like,
I mean, yeah, like
the if he minimum, came back right? for
I
minimum,
mean, I mean, I mean, I guess, I mean, yeah, I guess especially since we traded for him, like,
yeah, we gave up
at least give me 2 years.
And
out
he didn't
of him.
Just completely like get Shit bowled bad, over yeah. when he was out there. Elf line obviously under contract. I think the offensive coordinator thing will help him. He had a pretty bad year this year coming back from injury. He's going to be a starter on our line next year. I'd be pretty shocked if he was all of a sudden a backup or gone.
Yeah,
or,
if he was like, replaced.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. It was a third round pick. Like, at least I would have to give him at least one more year. And if he has another
and
year like this
year. And his rookie
year
was pretty good. So, like, there's a lot of reasons why you can write off his year this year. Like, injury. He was injured, had to pass block like 50 times a game.
Yeah.
Had to go up against monsters.
He is undersized for our division, I think.
Well, with like Akeem Hicks and Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels and then Snacks Harrison. So like going to that more of just zone blocking, bootlegging, where like you're blocking space and you're moving the pocket. Like you can't just let every player know that Kirk Cousins is going to be 7 steps behind the line every snap. Like,
yeah.
No, we did like nothing to help our line. Like even Stefanski when he came in, he at least started using like cadence and timing, like quick snaps or, you know, hard counts. Like, DiFilippo wouldn't do shit.
Yeah. That was or silent snaps after yeah, the hard count.
Yeah, it's almost like DiFilippo just was like, I'm going to line up and run my plays. Like, it was kind of like startling how, like, it was like, whoa, like, look at these quick snaps. We did one against Miami for the touchdown to start the game. Like, they just walk up, boom. They're not even set, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why did we not do any of this before? Like, DiFilippo, are you just completely unprepared? Like,
I think he's just maybe a moron.
So, and that's what when Zimmer... maybe a moron. Got an interview with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Cardinals?
Yep, the Cardinals. The Cliff Kingsbury led Cardinals. Yeah, he's you know what I mean? At least he looks good.
That's what matters. But yeah, I think that'll help Elfline, and he's a lock to be on the team.
Holy cow. The NFC West is filled with beautiful head coaches. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Cliff Kingsbury, and the luck of the draw, Pete Carroll.
Silver Fox, Pete Carroll?
Oh, man.
It's a good-looking bunch.
Give me a better-looking
division.
We have
Matt Patricia, Matt Nagy.
Matt LaFleur? No.
Flores, I don't know. He's, you know, he's one of them.
He's a snack. Come on. Oh,
jeez. Grade the coaches on their looks. Stefanski, you know, the ladies like him.
They really do, though.
They do.
I think it's the beard. It must be the beard.
It's a good facial hair, you know. So I got one lock on the centers. Just offline.
Yep.
I would like to bring in the guy from Denver. And then either he plays guard or Elfline plays guard. Elfline would worry me at guard. I don't know. The guy just seems small.
I know, but...
Gotta play somewhere, I guess. But we do want small linemen now. If we're running that Kubiak-Shanahan system...
Yeah, you know, just slip right by... Yep. Just get to the second
fast,
level.
Just get in their way.
No.
You know, you're not trying to move them backwards. You're just trying to create a crease. So let's go to guards. We got Cedric Lang and Danny Isadora are the randoms. Well, Isadora's not a random, but he'll be on the team. He's under contract. Well, I'm not saying he's be on the team. He could easily be cut, but he's under contract. Nick Easton, free agent. What are your thoughts on him as I
bring him back for the minimum? I like Easton. He's coming back from a season-ending injury. Like, what was his injury? Wasn't it like he didn't break his leg? Or no, that because that was Elfline.
Yeah, was it a pec or was it like a...
Yeah, I think you're. I think
like
that's
a
what
neck
it,
thing or something.
I think you're right with Pac. I think it was
whatever it was. I don't want to count as him as a starter,
but I
would definitely like to bring him back. Like he was good,
nope.
Not great, but like better solid. Than the two guys we had this year. Yep. So yeah, like I'm all for bringing back competent linemen.
Definitely,
we could use them. I would try to. I would hope he's kind of a bonus, but I could see it being you upgrade. Either the guard or the center spot, and then he's the other starter, and it's like, okay, let's hope he's back
to
form.
Technically, you're getting a new lineman than you had last year, but he's already on the roster. He's 32, 33 next season.
Ooh, Nick Easton?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Berger. Berger was always
I was going to say Nick Easton's here.
Yeah.
Nick Easton is 26.
26.
Harvard. Traded Gerald Hodges for him.
Oh, yeah.
I would...
Didn't Nick Easton play center?
Yeah, he did play a little center.
You know, he's bigger than Elfline. Maybe he might be better than Elfline. Maybe... I don't know. I want Easton back.
I would like Easton back, too. And I would... He was hurt at the beginning of the season, which I think is a big difference. That Elfline, he was hurt in the title game.
Yeah.
Like, getting back from a broken ankle or whatever it was by, like... You
like what, 8 months?
Yeah, and you're just like, I don't really think he ever fully got back. He wasn't able to work out, you know, you're not able to like do everything.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's starting.
He should be ready to go.
Yeah, Elfline didn't even play in preseason. He was barely practicing at training camp.
Yeah,
like
he was
not prepared.
We had to trade for Brett Jones just to cover his job for a few weeks.
Oh.
So, and Easton, I would trust Easton coming back from injury to be better than Remmers and Compton. Because the Remmers and Compton suck.
Trash. Garbage.
Garbage. So, that goes to Com Compton. Free agent. Bye.
See you later.
Sorry.
Veteran minimum? Not a chance.
Yeah, no. Please leave. I know you're your cousin's friend, but maybe he'll just pay you out of his own pocket instead of making us pay
him. Well, I hope he pays him out of his own pocket to leave.
Yeah, pay him to be like a limo driver or something for him.
Like
a food chauffeur.
Yeah, you know, a maid. You know, something like that.
Classy maid, yeah.
Looks after the kids. Gets him on the school bus.
Yeah, you know.
Makes some lunches.
These are things that Compton could be good at because playing offensive guard is not one of them.
No. Maybe he makes Kirk Cousins lunch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, there you go. Keep our quarterback happy. The other guy is Mike Remmers, who has 3 years left on his contract. But if you cut him, you save $4.5 million.
Sounds delightful. I mean, yep, see ya.
Do you think there's any possibility you could trade him for like a seventh round pick?
Yes,
I do. He has tackle flexibility.
I feel like somebody will be like, you know what? I want him to play tackle for us.
Yeah, someone that's desperate for a tackle, and I don't know how good the tackle market is. I know there's a few decent players out there.
And you know what I'm not opposed to doing? I'm not opposed to keeping Remmers around. Like, if you don't need that $4.5 million this offseason, if you can make it work, you know, getting the offensive lineman you need, maybe that tight end, adding depth elsewhere, I'm not opposed to keeping him around until, you know, you make that final cut.
Or maybe you get to the draft or something. Yeah, and you can
trade them there. You know, players get hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like we gave up a pick for Brett Jones. And maybe you draft a lineman and you're like, well, let's wait and see to see if he's good enough to step in right away. Remmers actually as a depth player, as a
swing tackle
with guard flexibility, like he could literally cover 4 out of 5 spots on an injury. But the problem is
at 4,
I think we need the money. Like, if we had a lot of cap space, it'd be like, oh, yeah, keep him, whatever. He could be an expensive backup. But, like, I kind of think we're going to need that money to either upgrade the guard spots, like his own fucking spot, which is a problem, or to get back Barr or get back Richardson or bring back some of these other guys, like a Abdullah to be a kick returner.
Yeah.
You know, just small pieces that some receiver that we like out there that could be a third receiver, well, you maybe need $3-4 million to throw at him. Well, you can't be paying a backup lineman who sucks $4 million.
Especially when, like, I'd rather see, like, Rashad Hill and Danny Isadora, because Rashad Hill can swing both tackle spots and Isadora
can play
guard.
Well, that is the thing. Like, if
and you O'Neal, can do that for half the price.
Yeah, if O'Neal or Remmers got hurt, Rashad Hill would go in first anyways, and then Remmers sucks at guard. So, like, I'd rather see him go in there guard. Didn't Aviante Collins put a little guard before he got hurt?
Yeah.
Like, maybe these guys just suck, but, like, Remmers also sucks and gets paid 4 times what they make, so I think you gotta cut him.
Fiscally, it makes sense.
Yeah, so, and I think this is the number one spot we need to upgrade.
Interior line, like, guards?
Like, if we had a checklist, it'd be like, okay, get Stefanski back, I don't know about re-signing people. Like, I don't
know. No, I'm a little worried improving about it. Offensive line is...
I want 2 new guards. Or, like, if you did move Elflein, I want 2 new interior starters. And then, like, you got your smaller checklist. Like, I'd like an athletic tight end. I'd like a third receiver. But, like, the 2 new guards is the number one thing I think we need.
Definitely.
And how would you grade the guards as a whole? And let's throw the centers in. We'll do offensive line as a whole.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I like the tackles. Let's grade the guards. F?
F? I was going to be generous and say D, but, like,
they suck.
They sucked. They were garbage. Like, so many holding penalties and false starts and stuff like that by Remmers and Compton. It was – and getting blown up by Snacks Harrison, Kenny Clark, Akeem Hicks.
Fucking
Akeem Hicks makes everyone – like, dude steals so many people's lunch money throughout the year.
He was a terror. Let's jump into tackles. You got some dude that I can't even pronounce his name, but I have no idea who he is. Adam Bishwalti.
Do we count? Are we doing locks for offensive linemen as a whole or locks for guards?
Oh, we did centers or one. Who do you think is a lock at guard? I'm going to say nobody.
I guess.
Like, do I think Isadora will make it? Yes.
Yeah, but you can't write him on the roster.
Yeah, like, he's going to be battling for a job. Because, like, say you draft a guy in the fifth, and then you sign some undrafted guy, and he turns out to be, like, a Holton Hill.
Yep.
Sorry, Isadora, you couldn't beat out fucking Tom Compton for a job, so you're not, like...
That's true.
So I would say there's, so far, out of the two positions, I would only have Elflein.
Yeah.
Because
I don't want either of our starting guards back, and like you said, none of our backups. Yeah, none of our backups you can sharpie in as you're making the team.
Yeah, you could pencil in Isadora, but I could easily see you having to erase his name because we end up signing, you know, some random guy.
Anyone, everyone.
Yeah,
yep, definitely. So no locks of guards, and now we move to tackles.
Tackles, you got that random Storm Norton. Another random. They'll just be practice squad. Nobody's. Maybe make the team. Maybe don't. They're not even on the team really right now. The 53.
Nope.
Rashad Hill. So he is a restricted free agent. So you can tender him at a first round level, which they won't, but that's $4.5 million.
Okay.
You could tender him as a second rounder. It's a $3.1 million, which is what maybe they'll do because the original. You know what? I bet they just go original, which I think he was undrafted.
Okay.
Which is $2 million. So you have the right to match any contract someone offers him. Where would you go with that? Now, if you tender him at a second round level, they have to give you a second. So if you tender him at second, you're keeping him.
Yeah.
You're keeping him for $3.1 million. Would you try to save 1.1, thinking that no one's going to even try to pay him?
Yeah, knowing that I can match.
Yeah, because what are they going to offer him? Like, they're not going to offer him starter money.
No.
Like, they're just going to offer him, like, swing backup money, right? So, yep. Like...
And, you know...
They might
Aviante Collins could come back healthy, and I liked him, so...
So I think they just hit him with the original tender and go $2 million. If it's a reasonable backup contract, you match it. If it's not, you let him go. I mean, he's not...
And the only bad part is if it does reach near that $3 million range of the contract he gets, it's like... But nobody's going to give you a second round pick.
That's the thing. Like, if you tender him in a second, you just took him off the market. Yeah. No one's even going to attempt to give him a contract because no one's giving up a second round pick for Rashad Hill. But if you do the original, there is no compensation because he wasn't drafted.
Yeah.
So then you will get people sniff around, maybe, but maybe it's Rashad Hill and no one gives a shit.
Yeah, maybe they'll just try and sign him for $2 million and be like, all right, you want to match that? You're going to match that?
Or maybe every team's got a Rashad Hill. Yeah. And they're like, oh, we got our own developmental tackle that's not that good. We did like Thielen at a second round tender and like no one took him. Like, good job fucking that up.
Way to go, Belichick.
Yeah, way to go, Belichick. You got Aviante Collins. He's obviously under contract, still on a rookie deal. And then the last two, the starters, Brian O'Neill under rookie contract. Riley Reiff, 3 more years, similar to Remmers. If you caught him, you'd save $5.1 million. What do you think they do with him?
We've talked about it before. I prefer hoping O'Neill is ready to just flip him. Reiff at right tackle, O'Neill at left tackle, run him back out there again.
Yeah, I think that would be work.
I don't think that we can afford to re-sign our guys and add 3 new starters.
That's the thing. It's like maybe if your other guys were solid, you would think about cutting Reiff or trading them and trying to do something else. But like you're already looking for offensive line starters. You can't be cutting ones.
Yeah, we've already tried to upgrade it. Like, we've had 4 new starters. We've added, 5 new starters the last 2 years through the draft and free agency.
Yeah.
And no, you're already looking to upgrade at least 2 of them.
Yeah, so you don't have the luxury of trying to upgrade Reiff's spot. You just gotta live with it. He's for the most part, he's pretty solid. How well do you think he fits into a more of a pure zone scheme? I mean, he's not like a lumbering idiot, but he'd probably be our like worst fit. Like, I think Elflein and O'Neill are like made for it, how athletic they are. Reiff, I think, can do it, but I don't think he's the
Why I think left or right tackle
would fit. Yeah,
was better for him because I was thinking of Ryan Clady. Didn't he play right tackle though?
Clady, I think he was their left.
Okay. Yeah. But I feel like they had like big lumbering idiots at right tackle.
Where they're just kind of like
sealing the edge,
the edge, and doing what they need to. I think he stays. I kind of hope they flip him. I guess I don't really care, but I think it makes more sense.
I think they will flip. Who is their right tackle this past year? Isn't it like, did they have Marcus Gilbert?
Who are you talking about?
The Broncos.
Oh.
Because I know that Garrett Bowles, he's a Brian O'Neill type.
Yeah, athletic.
Big and athletic, like 6'5", but only weighs like 310.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah, big, but athletic and.
Quick.
So.
Perfect left tackle for his own blocking scheme.
Mm-hmm. If we went back and had Reiff and O'Neill at tackle, Elflein, Easton, and then we did sign the guy from Denver, or someone else. I don't hate it.
Especially
if you're really counting on Easton to be like stepping up. And you're still middle of the pack. Like, we're just getting back to middle of the pack. Like, we still don't even have like a
We're still in that 15 to 19 range.
Yeah. We don't have a, what is going on in this Wild game? 6-4.
Wow.
Sheesh. We don't have a Steve Hutchinson. We don't have a a Lane Johnson, Brian McKinney. Like anyone that's like, this guy's not giving up anything. He's a monster. Matt
Burke.
Yeah. So, but you got to get back your respectability, I guess, before you. And let's not forget the draft. So.
Lot. I can't hold up. Like lots of offensive
line. Yeah, so you throw a second round pick in there, all of a sudden maybe Easton is a backup. Or I would hope we can sign a guy and draft a guy to add two new pieces, but
well, yeah, I mean I would prefer to sign a guy or two and draft a guy or two. If you don't sign two guys, you draft two guys.
Yeah.
And hoping that maybe the guy you signed or one of the two guys you signed is a backup because you hit on your draft
picks. Yeah, like the draft pick makes that guy become a backup. Yeah. I think we got to like get like four new faces in there between draft and free agency.
Four interior, like
just linemen, really, like in general. I mean, I would think mostly interior.
I would like to see five. New faces.
I was talking four, like two like legit signings, not like Tom
signings or draftings,
and then two draft picks that are like within the top five rounds. Because obviously, let's take some swings at undrafted guys too, like, and hope they pan out. But I want some real assets used to try to build this lineup.
Definitely, I almost want two guards in like the first four, like in the first four rounds.
Yeah,
maybe you can't make like a splash signing, but a quote unquote a splash signing, and then another like better than obviously better than Compton, but like.
But not, yeah, like the second signing is more like a
like an Easton type.
Yeah, like there's a reason. Maybe he came off an injury. Maybe he's had a down year. Like almost like a buy low type guy, but not a Tom Compton. You could sign him week one because he's available type guy, yeah. Like Aldrick Robinson type, where they're just laying around. Someone more like you said, like what Easton will be on the open market.
No.
I kind of think, like, realistically, I think we maybe sign one mediocre free agent and then we draft a guy, and that's kind of what it's going to be. But, which
I mean, I'm is not, what it is. Yeah.
If you're also trying to throw in a tight end and receiver, you can't.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah. Let's just hope we.
Let's just hope we go into next season with an improved roster and a great chance.
Yeah. Well, because last year we literally went into the season with a worse offensive line the year before. Like, yeah. We went, and some of that was injury, but, like, we went from Easton and
Berger
to
Compton
and Remmers with Rashad Hill on the right tackle instead of Remmers. And then we also didn't have Elfline. We had Brett Jones. Like, it was
right off the bat.
And our line sucked the year before. Like, that was the reason we lost in the Eagle game. Everyone said
that was the year that was the reason why we sucked the year before that, too.
Yeah, and we tried to fix that with.
And the year before that.
Is our offensive
line.
We've
been trying to fix our offensive line since Zimmer got here.
Yeah. So, well, you know, he wants us to just only draft defense. But we hit on O'Neal, which I think is big.
Yep. And. I'm not ready to give up on Elfline yet.
No.
I would like to say we hit on Elfline too. So far, so good in the draft.
Yeah.
And Reef, yep. I mean,
I think Reef was a good
middle of the pack. He's at least middle of the pack.
Shut down tackle, but he's a good tackle.
But he's definitely not bottom 10. So.
Yeah, we just got to fix those last two spots. How would you grade the tackles on the season?
The tackles as a whole, I mean, Rashad Hill, B+. B.
You are overrating everything. Really C plus, I would say. I
really like Brian O'Neill.
I think Brian O'Neill might be getting slightly overrated because he didn't give up a sack, but like he almost gave up a few sacks. Like that's kind of a It's like a stat like that. Like a D lineman can have a ton of pressures and no sacks because he just barely doesn't get there, but he's forcing things. Yeah. O'Neill was good. I don't think he was a B+ as far as if you're rating all tackles like. There's a lot of better tackles out there last year. Now, I think he can, obviously, his first year, he's raw. Like, he should be getting really good. I thought Reef had a pretty average year, like a down year for him. So, I'd put C+, B- area. Rashad Hill played okay. I mean, like, he was fine.
I don't even want to. Yeah. I don't know. Brian O'Neill was good.
Reef.
I guess I did. Bitch and moan about Reef a lot.
He bitched and moan about him. He basically was
ready. I was ready to cut him multiple times.
Yeah, I think you did bench him a few times.
I'm going C.
How many locks do you think there are? I would say there are two, Reef and O'Neill.
Yeah.
I think Rashad Hill will end up back here.
Yeah, but you can't sharpie
him. But you can't sharpie him in because he easily could. I could even see them not tendering him anything and just being like, whatever, see you later, dude. Like, he lost his job to a rookie pretty quick. But you can't just be giving away good backup tackles.
Yeah.
Well, he got hurt, yeah, and then just never got the job back. So
yeah.
Well, but we'll say two for now.
I mean, you get a B-plus right tackle in there, you're not going to get your job back. You got to be A-minus, A-worthy, which he is not.
So far on offense, we have, well, this is at the end of the offense, we have 3, 6, 8, 10, 13 locks.
On offense?
Year, on offense. So that's the 11 starters plus 2 backups. So a lot of spots that could be battled for.
Yep.
Now, I'm sure
a
big chunk of them will end up on there, like Mike Boone and like Aviante Collins or, you know, whatever it is. But
Treadwell,
Easton, like those kind of guys. Yep. But for now,
Rashad Hill.
We also have the opportunity to turn over our roster a lot if we felt like it.
True. Are we going to do special teams next week with that? Or
no, right we'll now? Hit special teams now because there's quite a few defensive players. We'll do Matt Weil. He is a exclusive rights free agent, so you can get him for peanuts. I think you do it. I have no problem with him.
Yeah.
Wasn't spectacular, but I feel like he was fun.
I mean, you can fish around as the season goes on. As the offseason goes on.
But at least you have one for now for whatever the...
Continuity.
Minimum. Yeah, continuity. Kevin McDermott, he's fine. I think he's under contract, so
he'll perfect.
Dan Bailey, free agent. What are your thoughts on him?
Not impressed.
Not impressed, but I thought he kind of got it together towards the end of the season. I would have no problem bringing him back. But I also think, like, I think Jason Myers is available from the Jets. Like, I wouldn't have a problem getting him. I'm a little scared of going for rookies. Yeah. So I feel like whoever you get is just going to be pretty much the same as Dan Bailey.
I don't even see why you bring in a kicker. It's just a waste of a roster spot to begin with. You know, this way you can add an extra offensive lineman or bring in that fourth tight end or keep Amir Abdullah around, you know, stuff like that. I mean, just go in with Kevin McDermott and Matt Weil and call her a day.
Okay.
I don't get why you can't find somebody who's good at both.
That is weird. That is really weird. Why can't there just be a punter and a kicker? I thought someone drafted a guy that was going to be like that, and then it just never happened. Was it Anger? No.
I feel like it was Aguayo. I feel like there was a reason why somebody drafted somebody so high, because it's like, well, they can do both.
Yeah, we'll save a roster spot. And then it was like, oh, wait, no, they can't do neither.
Was it Mike Nugent?
They can't do anything good. They're actually bad at both things.
But, you know, it's just... Come on. How can you not...
It is really weird. But I guess when you just do one thing constantly, you get a lot better at it than, like, mixing in...
Yeah, but why don't you just, you know, growing up, kick field goals for 8 hours and then punt footballs for 8 hours and then go to school?
Not enough time in the day.
There's enough time in the day for that. School's 8 hours, then you got 16 hours in football.
When do you sleep?
You don't need sleep when you're an athlete.
Is that true?
Sleep during school.
Sleep during the punting drills. Would I like to upgrade over Dan Bailey? Yeah, I just don't know how you do it. How do you do that? There's not going to be some god kicker on the market, unless Jason Myers is that good, but like...
I don't know.
I feel like you're going to get someone similar to Dan Bailey. And then if you draft someone, it's
how come our kicker, our rookie kicker, couldn't be Mike Badgley and actually be good? He was on a good team.
I think he will be. I think Carlson will be good. So, hey, while we're talking about special teams, to wrap this up, Mike Prefer. He bolted for the Browns.
All right, cool.
Yeah. See ya. All right. What did you think of his special teams over the year? I thought his coverage units were really good.
Yep.
Like, we didn't give up a lot of big plays.
We gave up a lot of pressure on punts, though.
Yeah, we gave up a block for touchdown this year. We didn't get blocked a ton, but yeah, there seemed like a lot of pressure given up. His kicker, he could never make good. I don't know if that was his fault or what, but like Blair Walsh fell apart, Carlson fell apart, and Bailey was like oddly shaky.
And Forbath was shaky as well. And
Forbath was shaky.
Couldn't hit extra points.
I don't know if I really put much of that on him.
And he wanted to nuke the gaze.
Yeah, he wanted to put him on the island and nuke the gaze. So there's a problem, you know. But... I think the number one thing I didn't like about his special teams is there was never anything exciting about it. And I don't know if that's Zimmer never calling a trick play or never getting it. But, like, even getting a block. Like, we don't block punts ever.
No.
I think Thielen did, like, 5 years ago.
Before
he was anything. But, like...
Was that against the Packers?
I don't know. I think he did one against the Panthers at one point.
Maybe it was the Panthers. But anyways.
Like, it seemed like we were always, like, fundamentally sound. It's almost similar to Zimmer's defenses. Like, we do everything good, we just don't ever make any big plays.
Yep.
Like, the only one that ever made plays was Sherrill's.
And Patterson when we had him.
Yeah, well, yeah, the guy had two of the best returners in fucking history with Harvin and Patterson. So, like, as soon as he lost that, it was just dog shit players back there. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not too worried.
I feel like he's a guy that, you know, you can do better and you can do worse. He's he's a middle of the pack kind of guy. He's a C special teams coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know? I'm not like shedding a tear that he's leaving and we're gonna try someone else new. No. I wouldn't mind seeing something else change.
No, I mean it last year was it wasn't a complete disaster, but from what expectation wise it was a disaster.
Yeah,
it like wasn't. Shake it up. Don't just go, you know, 2 years ago we were good, you know, let's just keep rolling out with stability, the normal Minnesota thing. It's like, no, shake it up. Like Zimmer knows, it's like, you know, he's probably putting himself on his own hot seat this year. Like,
yeah, like I got to do better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't care that Prefer left. I think that's pretty much all we got. That's everyone.
Right on. Good deal. So that's that. Next week we'll
hit the defense with this kind of a similar thing. Go through the free agents and people we can cut to save a little money. There's a couple big ones, a couple big guys we need to re-sign on defense if we want to.
Yep.
And then after that, maybe we'll do kind of a what would Grapes and Gorak do in the offseason? Like, who would we personally cut, re-sign, sign for agency, draft kind of thing.
Right on.
But yeah, we're at about hour 25. Like we,
yeah.
Yep. Anything else you want to say about, you know, to the people out there?
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Grapes and Gorak. Follow me at Grapes07, him at 10th Puppy. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Subscribe, tell your friends, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.